This is Hope Radio on Moose FM, a non-denominational Christian celebration of life in song, spirit, and word. Here's Tim Rout.
Welcome to Hope Radio. Why did Jesus put you here, brother? Well, it certainly wasn't so you could spend your life hiding under the bed. Heavenly Father, we are gathered in your name to learn from your word. Open it to us, we pray, even this hour. In Christ our Lord. Amen. Newsboys kicking us off, the greatness of our God.
From the dawn of creation, this world has been crying out for hope. Hero to save us, we long for the supernatural.
But there is only one God who can save the day. So clear the stage, prepare the way, 'cause heaven and earth are singing glory, hallelujah. Let the whole world see the greatness of our
save the day. So clear the stage, prepare the way, 'cause heaven and earth are singing glory, hallelujah. Let the whole world see the greatness of our God. In awesome wonder he reigns forever. We know the greatness of our
opening hearts and minds to faith and joy on Moose FM.
We continue our study in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21. This detail-packed bit of text might not seem to be especially forceful, but if you understand its implications for your walk, brother, it may well leave you stunned. This brief, little passage is crammed full of indictments and warnings that, if one were to poll the average evangelical church, would likely result in either a mass exodus or mass repentance. Yet, in the midst of those admonitions, blessings and wonderful promises. So let's work through Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25 together and see what the Lord has for us. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even that which he has will be taken away." Verse 21 swings a shot straight at the kneecaps of those who wrongly believed they can be undercover Christians. While a believer is not obligated to announce his status as a child of God to every stranger he meets, we are never allowed to deny Christ when asked, and we are to live transparent lives that can easily be discerned as those who bear the Lord's light. Meaning, if you've known me for 5 minutes, you might not see me for a Christian, but if you've known me for 5 months, you better have. This is made a bit clearer by one of the parallel passages, Luke chapter 11, verse 33, which reads, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light." Christians are to be visible ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to behave or speak as though we belong to the world. And our visibility as representatives of the King is intended to give light to others. For example, some believers shy away from publicly confessing Christ by remaining silent when they ought to speak up. All right, here's our company's new diversity policy. You will be required to read it, sign it, and obey it. Failure to do so may result in your termination. But when looking at the document, you realize, my goodness, there are things in here God hates. I can't affirm that. And yet you remain silent when silence serves as tacit approval. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Every believer has a duty to speak the truth in love. Sin is death." Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12 says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling toward slaughter. If you say to yourself, 'Behold, we didn't know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" James 4:17, "For he who knows to do right and does not do it, for him it is sin." You can plead your ignorance before men, but never before the only one whose opinion actually matters. Mark 4:22, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." Consider some implications. Firstly, what Jesus had taught the disciples in private was to be shouted from the rooftops, Matthew 10:26 and 27. Secondly, those who scheme behind closed doors thinking that their treachery will never be revealed have another thing coming. It's all going to spill out into daylight in the end. Thirdly, those who identify as Christians might not be. That is, those who claim to have a lit lamp, but nevertheless hide it, ashamed of the gospel and of Christ, will one day be found wanting. False faith, failing when tested. Fourthly, the immature saved person, genuinely redeemed, but ungrounded, may, for a time, play the role of the spiritual wallflower, guarding his lamp a little too closely. But God isn't going to let him stay there. If you belong to Jesus, he will eventually push you into the middle of the room so the world may see you for what you truly are. His. You're not here to serve your own interests. You're here to glorify the Son of God. And he will do with you whatever he pleases, brother, in order to accomplish that end. Reminds me of the very last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, the last verse. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So live transparently before the Lord and before others. Verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. This is one of a dozen or so similar statements uttered by the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. The phrase makes distinction between those whom God has granted to understand what is being said and those who have not been given this grace. As we saw last time, all the kingdom parables are related to one another, and Yahweh has granted that only certain hearers will comprehend them. There are a number of New Testament terms used to describe such persons. They are called the elect, Luke 18:7, the chosen, John 15:16, the called, 1 Corinthians 1:24. I should note some translations have dropped the definite article the, but in the Greek it's the called. Those to whom God has granted ears to hear are also known as sheep, John 10:27, the predestined, Romans 8:29. And the significance of the phrase, he who has ears to hear, is straightforward. Those whom Yahweh has chosen to save will hear his gospel, they will understand it, they will believe it, because he has already granted them, through regeneration, the gifts of repentance and faith. He's already given them a new nature that longs to love him and to obey his Son. Ezekiel 36:26 and 27. So to summate, if Jesus has lit a lamp in the heart of your life, no hiding it. And if the Spirit of God has given you ears to hear, well, you probably have a good idea what that will mean in your context and where you really do need to step up and shine. Mark 4:24, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. Some have unfairly accused Mark of blending various of the Lord's sermons here. If you read the parallel accounts in Luke and Matthew, you'll notice many additional details being included, and some quotes being separated by a good deal of other text. But it's important to remember all the gospel writers were selective with their material. None of them report every last syllable Jesus spoke. On the contrary, they carefully curated their accounts in order to accomplish their respective missions. Matthew includes important details that were especially relevant to his mostly Jewish audience. Luke, a Greek physician who was not an apostle like Matthew, nor an eyewitness to the risen Christ, nevertheless assembled his data from eyewitness accounts in order to present a coherent gospel for his friend Theophilus. It's not easy to see in English, but Luke employs a much higher level of Koine Greek than most other New Testament authors, using technical terms that would be particularly helpful to his Greek-speaking reader. John, who wrote his gospel decades after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tells us in John 20, verses 30 and 31, that he intentionally limited his material for evangelistic purposes, so that his readers might learn the way to eternal life through faith in Christ. And Mark, for his part, also targeted a Gentile audience, almost certainly a Roman audience, given that he explains certain Greek words by using transliterated Latin words. It's also possible Mark was the first of the Gospels to be written, chronologically speaking, though some conservative scholars debate this. So let's take a look at verse 24, as Mark penned it and exegeted it in its own stead. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. The Lord Jesus taught many things to many people on many occasions. Sometimes he synopsized a teaching for one congregation while elaborating on it for another. Here we see a teaching similar to Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5, where Jesus warned against hypocritical judgment. Be careful how you measure others, because the standard you use for them will be used for you. That teenager does something thoughtless and stupid and causes you a real heartache. Well, before you unload on him, consider your own young years and how others dealt graciously with your stupidity. I work in broadcast radio, if you hadn't guessed. A while back, I used a fair bit of personal influence capital to secure a junior position for a young person that could have resulted in a long and meaningful career for him. He did one show, which went rather well, I should add, and then quit. My boss was very unimpressed. My moral authority was utterly expended. And I was hurt and angry. How could he do that to me? Doesn't he know what it cost me to stick my neck out for him like that? Then, this and other scriptures popped into my mind, and I remembered the many times when I had done something similarly hurtful and juvenile. Bottom line, when you set a moral standard for others, God sets that same standard over you. That doesn't mean we shouldn't judge. It simply means we should judge ourselves to an equal, or hey, how about higher, metric. Verse 24 also reflects what Jesus said in Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So yes, there's a warning against hypocritical measuring, but also its converse. Shower others with grace and blessing and forgiveness, and you will receive the same, overflowing no less. God keeps close accounts. He loves showing kindness to people. So, when you do likewise, you're acting like Him. Nothing is ever lost on the Lord. He remembers it all. Do you want more blessing in your life? Well, then don't focus on getting it. Focus on giving it. The more you pour yourself out for others, the more God's grace will be poured out on you. Then Mark chapter 4, verse 25. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The parallel text in Luke 8:18 adds an interesting detail. Whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have, even that which he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Those who walk in obedience to the word and show mercy and kindness to others in Christ's name can expect an abundance of blessing in return. But to the one who mistakenly believes himself to be blessed when he is not, who believes those things he most treasures must be protected at all costs, measuring bitterness and pride to go along with that overturned cauldron he conveniently stores his lamp under, will one day find that even what he thought he had is a vapor, taken away. Please note that God takes things away from people and thereby hurts them. And the man's ultimate loss, should God let him go his way, is hell. And there's a linear relationship between today's pericope and the previous passage. Remember Jesus' parable of the soil types? Only good soil receives the word of God and produces fruit. No fruit, no salvation. Same principle here. No blessing measured out, no eternal life. A few corollaries. First, we need to be careful when assessing whether someone's apparent lack of spiritual glow is the result of its absence or our nearsightedness. Be careful when measuring a fellow professor of the faith. Make sure you're reading him rightly, and remember, he might be new to the kingdom and still learning the basics. Babies often make a mess. Second, the fruitfulness of your life is most certainly a product of obedience. I'm not talking about your salvation here. That's a free gift. I mean, many of the blessings God sends your way must nevertheless be earned. He has given you a mind with which to think, interests that compel you the extra mile, health and strength with which to labor, and helpful people who lend you the knowledge and encouragement and experience you need. But when you see your lap piling full of blessing, even though much of it could be attributed to your own work, don't forget to thank God. You know full well it was He who made it all happen. Third, by and large, we cannot know this side of heaven whether a brother is really a brother. Now, hear me out on this. I know it might sound a bit weird. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. I profess to be a disciple of Christ, your brother in the Lord. I speak all the right words, and you rightly call me brother. But were this not so, were I a false brother, they do exist, it could be very difficult for you to see, at least at first. That doesn't mean you should challenge me on the veracity of my faith. It means you should be watchful. Careful to hear, as the Lord put it, because sooner or later, you'll be slapped in the face with an apostate, someone who appeared to have an abundance in the Lord, but who ends up having even that taken away. And brother, if you're unprepared, it can be utterly devastating. Then lastly, there is more to come. Let him who has ears pay close attention, because there is more to come. Whatever you know, there is more to learn. However much Bible you have digested, there is greater abundance waiting to be consumed. Even in a passage you think you've digested fully, Scripture is exceedingly rich. There is more coming, and the Lord will press it down. He will fill it full to overflowing and grant you to pass it on to others. That's your duty, you know. Pass on what you have. The more you learn, the more you grow, the more you pass on. Wherever you're at in Christ, however far along in your walk, there is someone else, in your circle no less, who's a little further behind than you. Go disciple him. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, not so that they will think the world of you or be impressed with your oratory skills or wisdom, but so that having observed you, they will turn and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Wrapping up then, do not make the mistake of thinking that Mark 4, 21-25 is a series of disjointed statements. It is, in fact, one coherent whole. The pericope speaks with a single voice about a single thing: the manner in which Jesus uses you to represent him to the world. You are not meant to be a hidden hermit. You are a gospel light bearer who should hold high the good news of sins forgiven by faith in Christ. And listen, that includes things God is teaching you in private right now. One day they should probably become part of your testimony. It can be so encouraging to other believers to hear how, yes, you failed perhaps, you ran into a brick wall, you had a tough time, but Jesus delivered you. Remember, your testimony is always about him, not you. Brother in Christ, you've been granted ears to hear, so listen carefully to the Scriptures. Pay attention to the way God's Spirit works them out and through your life. Measure others in a way you would have him measure it to you, because God will hold you accountable. And live in the expectation that the Lord, who has granted you all the blessing and knowledge and authority you possess, will add to it in his time, until that unspeakably glorious day when he calls you to his side forever, home. But my friend, if you have not repented of your sins, if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have only the sure expectation of wrath, and even what you think you possess will be ripped from your hands. Oh, that God would grant you ears to hear. And our Heavenly Father, the only giver of life and identity and holy purpose, pour out grace upon your people this day. Grant us to listen to your word with care and to obey it. Uncover the lies of the wicked. Show forth your wisdom among your sheep. May the nations come to fear you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Sonic Flood playing us out. Open the eyes of my heart on Hope Radio.
Tim Rout has served as a Christian pastor for more than 20 years. Listen every Sunday at 10 a.m. for more Hope Radio, a celebration of life in song, spirit, and word on Moose FM.